Chapter 16. The thunderstorm had slowed to a nice, gentle rain by the time Daisy and I left Grandy's. I drove to the city library, parked in the lot, and, holding my umbrella over my head, hurried up the library steps. I left my umbrella on the porch. Greta was busily sorting through books behind the front desk. She looked up and smiled as I came in. "Come join the party," she said. "I think this rain has put a stop to outdoor activities. Everyone in Edna Lee must be here today." "No," I said. "Only half is here. The other half is at Grandy's." How much should I tell Greta? If she knew of my involvement in Miss Evangeline's death, she would only worry, and enough of my friends were concerned as it was. I certainly would not lie, but I'd see if I could figure out a believable reason for my request. "It's almost time for another meeting of the Old Houses Club, isn't it?" I asked, squelching a feeling of guilt for not telling Greta my reason for mentioning this. "Sure is. I'm having it at my house this time. It should be a fun time. Miss Anne is going to read to us from a journal that belonged to her mother. It tells about the first houses built here in town." "What a treat." "She didn't say a word about it to me," I said, trying to think of a way to voice my suggestion. As it turned out, Greta provided the opening for me. "I think we need some new blood in the group. We've lost two of our members, and I certainly don't want to discontinue the meetings." "Nor do I agreed. "I've thought of a few others who might enjoy coming. As you know, Miss Evangeline Carver passed away recently, and I'm sure those at her home were feeling her loss. Do you think it's too soon to invite the ladies from the Carver estate?" Greta blinked. "No," she said slowly. "I don't suppose that would be insensitive. I don't know any of them. Of course, my husband's cousin, Jules, works out there, but I haven't even talked to him for quite a while." "Jules? Do you mean the gardener?" "That's the one. Jules Thatcher," she sighed. "I've never understood why he wanted to work there, after the way his father was treated by Judson Carver years and years ago." I was beginning to be glad I had dropped into the library. Why hadn't I thought of Greta sooner? Leaning across the desk, I asked, "What did Judson Carver do years ago?" "It's no secret, Ned, even though I don't want gossip to start again. Sometimes libraries seem to have ears." She nodded across the room to a man reading a book of bound papers. His back was toward me, but the set of his head looked familiar. "That's Ken Riley," Greta said. "He works at the Carver farm. He has been in twice lately and looked through copies of some old newspapers, papers from out of state. Not sure what's so interesting in them. Maybe he's a historian." "Sure," I whispered. "I've met Ken. He seems like a nice enough person." "I guess I just suspect everyone who has anything to do with the Carvers," she said. "Many years ago, the Thatcher family lost their home due to Judson Carver foreclosing on it. Jules was only a little boy at the time, but, of course, he knew the story. Shortly after Jules's father lost the home, he died. Jules's mother had a terrible time trying to make ends meet. Judson Carver didn't lift a finger to help, just sold the house and tucked more money into his family's coffer." "That's awful," I said, blinking away tears. "Ron Murray said that Judson was ruthless." Greta nodded. "That's the word." Shrugging her shoulders, she said, "That was a long time ago, and yes, I'll invite the Carver women. What are their names, and why should they want to come? This is kind of an out-of-the-blue invitation, Ned." I stared down at Greta's desk, drumming my fingers on its smooth surface. I really hadn't thought this out very well. In fact, I hadn't thought it out at all. I was getting a lot of practice today in thinking on my feet. Tell them that we're going to have a terrific program. First, Miss Anne will speak, and then I am going to add to it with a short talk called If Walls Had Ears. Say that I've been investigating some murder mysteries in our county, and I may have an important announcement." Greta frowned and shook her head. "Since you haven't met the people who live there now, I'll invite them," I said. "How's that? I could go to the house, express my condolences on the recent deaths, and ask if they're up to a luncheon. Sort of give them something positive to think about. To make it more official and not look like you're being nosy, I'll print out an invitation for you to take along," Greta said. "I'll have it ready tomorrow if you want to drop by and pick it up before you go to the Carvers." "Thanks. I should offer my sympathy anyway. After all, that family has suffered a lot of loss in a short time. It'll be good for them to get their minds onto something else for a bit." Greta folded her arms across her chest and frowned at me. "Ned McNeil, I don't know what you've got up your sleeve, but I sure hope you know what you're doing. You are getting a reputation, you know, for being involved in police matters, and you are downright devious at times." I wanted to leave before Ken turned around and saw me. "Greta, I'm surprised at you. In no way am I devious, and I always know what I'm doing." As well as being stubborn, I believe in the power of positive thinking.